John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. I welcome my colleague, Victor Davis Hanson. He is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He writes the National Review Online and American Greatness. I call upon Victor to comment, to illustrate his observation in a recent essay that the institutions that the United States depends upon, is built upon, and in some fashion represents to the world as our finest creation, not just liberty, but all of the institutions of government, are either under assault or under severe pressure by the new people in Washington led by the Biden administration. Sometimes this is called woke, but we'll just say right now, this looks like assault. Victor, a very good evening to you. I want to begin with the assault that you identify in your column at the court, at the Supreme Court. To what end, Victor? How does it help the Biden forces to make clearly threatening remarks to the members of the court? Why? Good evening to you.
Well, I think they've come to the conclusion very quickly that the three things that have guaranteed 52% approval during this honeymoon have a shelf life that's running out. One of them is taking credit for the Trump vaccination program. Biden is the Biden vaccination program. And then the second is allowing before his tax hikes and regulations take effect, and we don't know to what degree they will, but we have a pre-COVID Trump economy returning, and that's now been relabeled the Biden boom. And then third, unhappiness over Trump's gratuitous tweets or remarks is now was to be the Biden unifying remedy, and now we know that he's not a unifier at all. He calls his opponents racist and Jim Crow advocates. So I think they understand that if they don't make structural changes, pack the court, get new states in, end the filibuster, that the issues that they're promulgating, open borders, Green New Deal, identity politics, support for reparations, stopping fracking, horizontal drilling, new leases, pipeline, there's no constituency for it. So they're going to ram them through and take credit for the Trump boom vaccination, stay the year, NIDA, try to change the system if they can. And at 78, I'll be 80 during the midterms. I can at least say that I had a successful 2 years and I'm more left-wing than any president in history. And I got more through by executive order and maybe by changing the system. I think that's their operating assumption.
And the threats to the court, how does that help there if there this is the game plan? How, not just threats to the court, but as you write, threats to the First Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, let's say the Tenth Amendment as well, because the states are being deprived of their own authority.
I think everybody's got the wrong referent when they talk about the FDR court packing scheme that, well, you know, even FDR couldn't get it through when he had supermajority in the Senate. That wasn't the lesson. The lesson was people were turned off by the mechanisms he used to pack it, but he so terrified the court that after they declared the National Recovery Act unconstitutional, if you look at the next 6 years, they gave everything that Roosevelt wanted. And I think the Biden people feel that even if we can't pack the court, a Justice Roberts or others may feel so intimidated that they will vote our way. And that's the logic behind it. They want to intimidate not just the Supreme Court, but the lower courts. I don't think we have a First Amendment anymore, John. The self-appointed watchdogs, the ACLU, they're part of the pack now after it. If I go on campus at Stanford University and I go to the free speech and I give a lecture, I will be assaulted if I said that I question wokeness or I don't support racially segregated dorms or I don't think that we should have safe spaces. I couldn't say that. And I've already been brought up by the Stanford Faculty Senate for just suggesting that when you had 100 million mail-in ballots, it was harder to authenticate the validity of them. So it doesn't exist. I don't think there's a Fourth and Fifth Amendment on campuses or in workplaces. In the sense, if a co-ed goes out on a date with another student and says that they had sexual relations, but it wasn't consensual, he said that's not true, there won't be an investigation that says let's hear your side, let's hear your side, let's hear evidence, let's cross-examine. It won't be that way at all. He'll be de facto suspended until he can prove that he's not guilty. Not that you have to prove him guilty and he's presumed innocent.
The states, the federalism system, has been under review for some time now by the Biden administration. Is that because of the success of Florida and Texas not locking down for very long and treating the pandemic as manageable? Is that why they're disregarded so routinely by Washington?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're trying to punish them for their success. And I think the Massachusetts, Michigan, Connecticut, New York, and California model either did no better as far as damping down the spread of the virus or did a lot worse in the case of Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, probably Michigan. And yet they all inflicted a terrible toll on school-aged children with the lockdowns and spousal abuse, familial abuse, suicide, missed surgical and medical procedures. So everybody looks at Texas and Florida and said, you know, they have the right balance. They took some risk. They had some COVID, but they didn't destroy the economy and they didn't destroy a generation of school children. And so I think that they're despised in the way that Scott Atlas warned us for months that there was no medical need to wear a mask in your car or bike outside with a mask or walk by yourself on a pathway with a mask. And he was demonized by Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and the whole left wing. And then now all of a sudden, well, he was right. Now that he's gone and we demonized and destroyed his character, he was right all along.
Congress, the institution of Congress, right now, it appears that bipartisanship is that at some point in the past, if a Republican liked an idea, that is sufficient to validate the proposals by the Biden administration. And yet, Victor, that was not only not promised during the campaign, but also that's guaranteed to make the laws fragile, guaranteed to create turmoil in the future because they're passed by a partisan majority. Now, Mr. Biden knows that. He knows that the laws he's passing here will be at least overturned or dented when the majority switches the other side. So why do they pursue it? It's.
I don't think he cares. I think he feels that Joe Biden, I think he gets up every morning and he says, I feel very tired. I'm 78. I've got cognitive challenges. I do not want to go out and have a press conference. I don't want to have a Trump-like ad hoc meeting with the press on the way to the helicopter. I don't want to get in the helicopter, and I just want 2 years. I want to sit here, and I want to issue executive orders. I want to get my team to help me, and I want to push through a radical agenda. And then if it's overturned in the midterms, okay, but I will go down in history as Joe Biden, the progressive par excellence president. I think that's where he's at. I don't think I know he doesn't want to be a second term where he can't be a second term, but I don't even think he worries about the last 2 years of his presidency. He probably says, you know, Obama didn't do much. He was there 8 years, and after the first 2 years, it was pretty much over for him. It was ceremonial, but I'll do more in 2 years than Obama did. Obama was scared. He was tentative. You know, he tried to triangulate. I'm not going to do that. And you hear all of his supporters gleeful. AOC was gleeful the other day that she was shocked about how unconservative he was.
The election day you mentioned in your column, that is an institution. Everybody comes together on one day to make a decision about the future. However, that no longer exists, I believe. We have many states with mail-in ballots over weeks. And the challenge right now, the challenge is, will the vote be accredited? Will people trust the vote? I don't know, Victor. I can't tell at this point because the story changes so often. Georgia was a complete quandary because of bad information given out of what was happening in Georgia. So have we lost Election Day as something to trust?
Well, we went in one cycle just in 2 years to 62% of those ballots cast were not cast on Election Day. And we went from a rejection rate of mail-in ballots, it's typically around 4 to 5%, to less than half of 1%. That represented, you know, 100 million votes. You're talking about 4 to 6 million people would have not been allowed, their vote wouldn't have been allowed because they didn't sign the ballot, or they didn't have a right registration, or they didn't fill it out right. But under this new system that these operatives ran through and overturned the state legislation, either through the courts or the bureaucracies, that's what happened. And I think that's what is behind the voter rejection of the voter ID and the national voting law that's going to supersede every state. I think the left said, you know what? This was the bonanza. The Zuckerbergs, the foundation, Silicon Valley, they gave us the $500 million. We pushed this stuff through. We won this election. We got a good formula. We've got to nationalize it so it's in every state, whether they like it or not. We've got to go to complete mail-in and early balloting. And look what it did to the election, John. It meant that the last debate didn't matter. Right. 40 or 50 million people had already voted. And everybody, there were many more ballots mailed out than were cast. Where do those ballots go? Where do they end up? Trash cans? Desk drawers? I have no idea. I mean, my children have been gone here for a long time. I got a ballot mailed to my adult child at my house. Victor, I think that happened to everybody.
Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution. We're talking about the institutions in America that have been the foundation of the success in the 21st century. But now, when we come back, the borders. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.